This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. When you turn me wrong,
you dropped the bomb on me, baby. Clean up in aisle one. Clean up in aisle one. Frank, Hall of Fame Cusimano, doing some Hall of Fame work here on the assembled buffet, Schnucks. You may want to stop by. I think we have enough food. If people want to come by,
we can share.
Gravois Bluffs in Fenton on 141.
I'm really impressed with those honey wings. Outstanding, really.
For you to go without, how long did you go without food? Did you make it 24 hours without eating, or is it like 12?
So it would have been.
Because this is almost, this is not possible.
So from Thursday, well, actually Monday night, I had a chocolate ravioli.
Who eats a chocolate ravioli? Well, I've got food laying around. I've got, like, Cheez-Its laying around. Frank has a chocolate ravioli.
A chocolate
and I thought I was the elitist.
It was from Frank Papa's at about 11 o'clock when I got home, and I didn't eat until the Olivet Diner on Wednesday morning at 10:30.
Okay, that's a pretty good stretch.
Yeah.
So you're making up for lost time.
I had orange Jell-O, too. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck Marlowe's arrived early for the Schnucks Buffet. Thumbs up.
You think if we were broadcasting live from a library, he would have come at 11:44.
And we'd have books assembled out there for everyone to check out. Somebody did point out, by hitting Goldschmidt second, you'll get 14 to 20 extra at-bats per year. And somebody else said they like it better if Harrison Bader's hitting ninth and the pitcher's hitting eighth. Mike Schild has said that he is not going to hit the pitcher eighth, so that's not in play.
That is interesting. He's really adamant about that, and yet he's kind of a La Russa guy. He has long conversations with
right. him. Right. Looking for trouble?
Yeah.
Is it worth 14 to 20 at-bats to get Goldschmidt? Maybe it doesn't matter. Did Holiday hit second a few times? Every once in a while, they'll put a guy in that spot.
Yeah.
I like Goldschmidt and Ozuna together. So if you sell me on Goldschmidt hitting two, then I think I'd hit Ozuna third. I don't want those guys split up. I want those back-to-back as a threat in a big inning or as a potential late inning, you know, do some damage. I want those guys coming up back-to-back because I also think the psyche of the pitcher could be affected.
And how many more at-bats would the number three hitter come up with a runner in scoring position throughout the course of a year as opposed to number two hitter?
Yeah, crunch those numbers, folks.
Brian's this is what we got at the top of his head.
This is what we do in St. Louis. Break it down.
We throw it out there and we ask Brian to do it.
Yes. This is what we do. We're knee-deep in some food. We're checking the clock. And we're thinking, how many things do we have Brian look up between now and 12 o'clock?
Charlie, I recommend the chocolate milk stout gooey butter cake after you're through with those wings. Chocolate milk. You like it? Very good. Thank you.
This is a good audience participation show today. They're watching us eat. That's what's taking place here. Tomorrow we're going to be at the 123 Club, Norwood Hills. Bob Costas will be on the show.
Yes. You know,
the great Bill McDermott is hosting. But
I contend that of the 400 people at that banquet tomorrow, that you and I and Charlie and Brian and Jim would probably know 325 of the people that walk in. I mean, everybody, like a who's who of St. Louis sports people over the years.
And people listening have heard us mention it, and I say this because I'm not entirely sure either. Give us the backstory of the 123 Club.
Well, it's just a bunch of loyal St. Louis sports fans, whether they were ex-players, coaches, media members, or just people in the community who wanted to get together and shoot the breeze and talk sports. I think
was it Bob Burns or Bob Bragg, one of those two that started it?
I think it was Bragg. Yeah, and it may have started Maggie O'Brien's. I don't know. Kim Tucher,
Mike's
sister.
Used to be in the back at Maggie O'Brien's.
Yeah, and now they have it at the Pasta House on Del Mar, a place where we've done some of our best eating, I think, over the years. Not our best shows.
Yeah, no, Frank and I may have been on the off the air a couple of times. Scott Stout, our broadcast engineer, was knee-deep in a plate of pasta, and we may have been off the air for about 5 minutes.
And the thing about it is we weren't upset. You know, a lot of times if you're doing a live remote and you're upset, because, we're off the air.
Yes.
But we really didn't care because Kim was bringing out pizzas and pastas. And
Frank's got the salad. Hey, real quick, are we still off the air? I'm like, Frank, you getting upset? No, I'm going to order another plate. And God bless Scott Stout. The only other thing that happened on one of those remotes, I said, hey, good for you. Have you quit smoking? It seems like you quit smoking. He got up and was waving me off like, no. And then in the break he said, nobody in my family knows that I smoke until now.
Wow. You got him into trouble like I got Chris Sloan into trouble.
But the 1-2-3 Club, they get together, shoot the breeze. I've only attended maybe once or twice.
Yeah, same here.
And they were breaking down some of the Cardinal injuries, and then a guy stands up and starts piping it. Well, it's Gene Gieselman, the former trainer of the Cardinals.
Not exactly a fan of the La Russa regime.
Right, but at least I said, well, here's a guy who at least speaks from – it was interesting because everybody in the room had something different to the table.
Right.
You know, maybe they're a sports agent, former trainer for the Cardinals, or somebody that had played for the Billikens, or whatever. That, and they just kind of throw out the topics. It was kind of like, I think they're stealing from the slop, Frank. They just kind of throw it out there, and then they debate how great Bob Wilson was.
I tell you what, I believe you can find some of the finest pieces of fried chicken at their food counter here at the Schnucks at Gravois Bluffs.
We've got a little room.
Colin Big Man.
Thank you. Call in Big Man. We've got
Colin.
Is it Call in Big Man?
It's actually, it's spelled Colin, but I
maybe,
think.
Maybe he's making a joke about it. He's Colin.
Larry Nichols, Dirty Sock, texting in. That's just a
what has happened? Frank's a Hall of Famer. He's been doing Radio Town for and this come to this where he's reading Larry Nichols' Dirty Sock.
Thoughts on DeJong second, Goldie third, and Bader ninth. I don't like DeJong in that top, you know, two or three spot. I'd like to have him like six or seven, maybe five.
All right, so if you're breaking it down, it's gonna be Carpenter.
But DeJong would see a lot of fastballs. Good point.
Would you put Bader in the two hole? You're going to try Dexter first.
No, yeah.
Okay, so let's say you roll it out day one. Carpenter, Fowler. Then you're going to go Goldschmidt, Ozuna. Is DeJong fifth?
I like him there ahead of Yachty.
Okay.
Yachty six.
And then Molina six. And now are you going to go Bader Fowler's, seven, Wong eight, I guess?
Yeah.
If Fowler's not playing, then it's O'Neill. And O'Neill is not going to bat second. He's going to bat.
Didn't they do that a little bit last year? I feel like.
Well, he could, but I don't
know. Russo liked that thumper in the two spot.
I think he strikes out too much right now for him to bat two.
So then if it's not Fowler, maybe it's Bader. At least then you've got.
Maybe.
What if it's a lefty and it's Jose Martinez? I'd bet him second.
Is he going to be
that's
on?
True,
too. They seem hell-bent on trading him.
Yeah.
I mean, and usually they don't reveal their hand. They've been kind of talking openly about what they might get for him.
Wouldn't you trade Jerko? I know that they're different players, but I would trade Jerko before I would trade Jose.
Correct. Okay. Correct. I think if you're going to have a guy sitting on the bench, I love Jed Jerko. I don't think there's a spot on this team for him.
Guys, I don't know why they keep talking about trading Martinez. Well, how come you haven't yet? Are they overvaluing what he brings? And the rest of the league is like, meh, no, I don't see it.
I think he's one of those guys you have to keep because I don't think you can get much for him.
Right.
So don't just give him away.
Yeah.
And he'll sit on the bench and he won't pout.
Yeah, who would embrace that role better than that guy? You know, he's the greatest guy ever.
He's there for sound bites at about 3:45 every day. Martin and Frank pounding him, and then we say, how's everybody back home in Venezuela? Great. Thank you for asking. Okay.
And then after we're done with it, this happened with Charlie and me quite a few times, is then like Mo Drummond would come in 10 minutes later and say, Jose, you got a minute? Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm not playing. I got plenty of time. Well,
he hits 300.
I wouldn't trade him because I think what's that role that he has on this team? He's a guy who's going to be sitting on the bench most nights, occasionally pinch hitting, occasionally playing. I'm happy with him being that guy. If you said he's going to play a lot, he's going to be out in the outfield, I'd say, well, maybe we need to upgrade. What are you upgrading by getting rid of him? He's a bench player who's going to play sparingly, available to pinch hit. That defines him. I think that's the perfect role. It's not like he's a 10-year veteran who you're sticking on the bench who's going to be unhappy. I think he would accept any role. Who else is going to be good at that? Late in game, coming off the bench.
Plus, he'll hit 300, get on base, you know, 360, and
because he can't play defense anywhere, are you reluctant to have him come off your bench late in the game and say, oh, well, if I pinch hit him, I can't really use him in a double switch because then he's a liability on the field.
I'd rather have him get two at-bats against lefties, you know,
early.
One through five innings and Dexter Fowler against lefties.
Now, your point is valid because if you do pinch hit with him, it's a tie game in the ninth, and he hits for somebody, then he's going to have to potentially stay in the game. It's probably more likely he would just pinch hit for a pitcher or somebody, and it's a one and done, where he's just going to hit and get out. He's not going to stay in the game. He is a liability, and God bless him, and he would admit it, and he talked a lot about it, and he tried really. I always thought, hey, anybody can play first base until I saw him.
Yeah. That's what one thing we're really going to embrace this year is all those bad throws from second, short, and third. They're going to be gobbled up this year by Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I would send Goldschmidt some clips and say, this is what you should be ready for.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I wonder if Matt Carpenter is going to have that awkward, unorthodox throwing motion from third.
I think he might be probably stuck with that for his career. Yeah. I think that's what he is. I don't know if that ever gets better.
I like him better on my team, though, being a, quote, third baseman than I do being a first. Even though he's got power, and he's shown that power.
Not that he's better defensively at third.
No,
than he
I just think I think I want my first baseman to be a Rizzo or a Goldschmidt. I kind of want that on my roster. And by basically adding Goldschmidt, you said that was for Jerko, because Jerko was playing a whole hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's the upgrade, is Goldschmidt over Jerko. I understand people have even commented and tweeted, you guys got to stop shoving Goldschmidt down our throat. That's not enough. He's a good player, but stop acting like they're dramatically different. And I do think that's a reasonable question. How much better are they? How much have they improved? Is it dramatic? And they would say, well, we won 88 games. If it's a little bit better, that might be the difference.
And then you supplement that with the outstanding bullpen, which they're still going to tinker with and fine-tune.
But they just got a free week in Vegas. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
They did save money by going to Dexter's house for dinner. That saved them a little bit of money. But even that agent that said it to Jerry Krasnick.
Okay, I was going to say, if you saw that.
That quote, the agent told Jerry Krasnick, longtime baseball writer, this is just an excuse for everybody to get out of the house. That's exactly what it, and that's what it appeared. Well, what got done? Well, McCutcheon signed and Lance Lynn signed. Okay, you didn't all need to go to Las Vegas. You didn't need to send 1,000 collective people there for that.
Now, Lincoln, Nebraska, next year, winter meetings, get stuff done.
I've never been to the state of Nebraska.
Really? Little. I was there for Mizzou, Norfolk State, in Omaha.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, what a special moment that was.
Cusimano jinx.
That's right. TMA talked about it this morning, not the same day, but it's with a bunch of Cubs, and like 9 or 10 pictures show Dext as a Cub.
I think we're talking about the signing event that Fowler's going to in
Maybe
Chicago.
Maybe that's the breaking point. Maybe that's when they go after Harper. So that's it. You're no longer a right fielder.
It is a real. It's a stupid thing to talk about. But I think for Fowler, it's a big thing. Show up at the winter warm-up. If they're trying to repackage you and they're telling everybody, hey, you're going to be great, we love you, you're our guy, just show up at the stupid warm-up. Sign a couple of trash cans. Just, I mean, whatever. Just
wow.
Well, whatever. I mean, I'm not calling the warm-up stupid.
You have a high regard for the winter warm-up, it sounds like.
My point.
Is that kind of elitist, too, there?
Yes. Sign trash cans.
Whatever they put in front of you, foam fingers, embrace it. The warm-up is great.
Why do you hate the common Cardinal fan?
What I'm saying is it's not that big a deal to make an effort to be at that event. Yachty can skip it because that's his prerogative.
Does Dexter's car have a backup camera?
Oh, for sure. 855-282-8255.
So Yachty has missed it a couple of years now?
He usually has travel issues.
Has he ever
gone? Sounds like he signed some.
That's a great question. I don't remember.
How about the fact that his autograph is always the most valuable, too? It's because he's never there. I guess it's more valuable.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well, I love the warm-up. We probably have a read for it next hour. My point was, Fowler, it's an easy point to make. Fowler should show up at the warm-up. I think that's safe.
Somebody texting in, Fowler's trying to get himself out of STL. I don't know. He just hosted a party for the executives of the franchise last night.
What if he served them terrible food on purpose? Hey, guys, here's some pizza rolls.
Yeah. You should serve Chicago-style pizza. It's all Chicago beer.
312 beer.
Yes.
Goose Island.
Everywhere on the wall, it's Cubs gear.
Want a brat?
You're like, well, they liked you so much they let you go? Question mark?
Well, I'm actually excited tonight about a broadcast on Fox 2. Not your newscast, but the actual football game tonight.
Chiefs, Chargers. Coverage starts at 6:30.
Are you guys doing a...
They do it. The network does it. Oh. For whatever weird reason all year, they've done it from New York. I think it's because Michael Strahan's travel plans.
Probably.
It's so weird, but they basically invented a show because he can't travel, and they're standing at Times Square or whatever. I don't get that at all.
Really?
Well, of course, I love the network and everything they do.
So you hate the winter warm-up, you hate Fox National, what else?
Not true at all. It just feels like they moved the whole show because Strahan can't be there. I'm like, then just do it without him. Do it from the studio.
It's better with him in it, though.
Well, and I think they know that.
They desperately need.
But they let him kind of host. It's weird. One night, there was a big game. I forget which one it was on that Thursday night.
Titans-Jags.
And the first 10 minutes, was just Strahan and Terry talking. And like, we'll come back and talk about the game. And I was like, okay.
It is
okay.
Odd.
It's weird show.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Dave Wannstedt, so count your blessings.
This is true.
All right, before we get out of here, a quick word about the Bomarito Automotive family. If you're looking for a car, we recommend a trip to bomarito.com, actually. That way you can search through their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars and see if they don't have the right car for you. They sell over 30,000 cars a year at the Bomarito Automotive family. They have 20 new car locations. They have 9 pre-owned car locations. And their goal is real simple. They want to have one Bomarito car in every garage in the St. Louis area. So be a part of it. Bomarito.com. Coming up next, the coveted hour with Charles Marlowe and Martin Kilcoyne. We'll take a break and we'll be right back after this.